This is the SEO Mindset Podcast with your hosts, Sarah McDowell and Tasmin Sullivan. This podcast is for SEO professionals, and each week, with the help of our wonderful guests, we discuss the important stuff that actually affects our careers and progression, but sadly often doesn't get talked about. You know, the invaluable soft and interpersonal skills that are often taken for granted, such as the skills we need for listening, time management, communication, and more. We also talk about the big issues that affect us and our careers, such as burnout, imposter syndrome, self-belief, saying no, plus other big issues and obstacles. With this podcast, we want to share knowledge on topics that unlock our listeners' true potential and enhance not only their careers, but all parts of their lives. So, are you ready to prioritize your own personal growth and career development? Then let's crack on with this week's episode. Hello, and thank you very much for joining us for another episode of the SEO Mindset Podcast, where your hosts are myself, Sarah McDowell, and the ever so fabulous Tasmin Sullivan, where new episodes go out every Thursday. Now, this week we are talking about co-owning and running a business when you have ADHD. And I am joined by the wonderful Dana Di Tommaso. And this is such a great conversation because Dana really opens up about the benefits and challenges that she has with having ADHD and co-owning and running a business. So, for example, benefits such as not having boundaries, saying yes to a lot more things, which presents lots of new exciting opportunities and new things for the business to try, or the times where you have hyper focus moments and the sheer amount of work that you can get done. On the other hand, there are the challenges such as getting easily distracted by Slack notifications and the systems and solutions that she needs to put in place to best navigate these kind of challenges. Who is Dana? Dana is the founder and lead instructor at KP Playbook and president and partner at Kickpoint, where she helps people and teams do better marketing. Alongside the team at Kickpoint, Dana teaches people and teams how to set goals and track results so that they understand what strategies and tactics bring real value. Now, before I get Dana onto this episode, before we get talking about ADHD and the benefits and challenges, just want to remind you how you can support the podcast. If you think, I quite like what Sarah and Tasmin are doing. A reminder that we are set up on Buy Me a Coffee, meaning that we can accept one-off tips and donations from you, our audience and listeners. If you fancy doing that, go and check out the link in our show notes. Without further ado, let's crack on with this week's episode. Hello, Dana. Thank you for joining me. How are we doing?
Of course. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, when you reached out to me and we got chatting, it was a no-brainer because the topic that you suggested, talking about ADHD and how that impacts running a business, I was like, This is such a great topic to get stuck into. But yeah, before we do, how's your morning been? Have you had a nice restful, or has it been all go?
Oh no, this is a pretty chill. So we're recording on a Monday, just FYI for people who are listening. Monday's usually pretty quiet for me. I do a radio column on CBC Edmonton Monday mornings, and then I have a internal meeting, and usually Mondays are a nice easy way to get into the week, so it's perfect.
Nice. Well, for some reason, I really wanted to challenge myself. So I jam-packed my calendar. Don't know why. I just thought, you know what? Sarah needs a challenge to fit as much as she can in today. And so it's a bit later on in the day for me, but I love podcasting. So this is a nice way to finish my day. And then afterwards, I'll probably, I don't know, just stare into space for an hour. Who knows?
What a great way to end your day. Yeah.
You know, when you've just been socializing a lot and you've been talking a lot. And I also had a meeting with an accountant, my accountants as well. So there was a lot of numbers and just stuff that I had to switch my brain on for. So yeah, I'm quite looking forward to having a lovely little chit chat now. So let's get into it. So we are talking, like I said at the beginning, about ADHD and how you navigate when you are co-owning a business, because this is the situation that you are in. So for those who aren't familiar, let's start from the top. What is ADHD?
Yeah, ADHD stands for Attention Deficit and Hyperactivity Disorder. A lot of people think of ADHD as like the classic hyperactive boys in school who can't sit still kind of thing. And that's why women particularly are typically underdiagnosed with ADHD. And so my brother, for example, he has ADHD. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that on a podcast. He was diagnosed when he was, I think, 7 or 8. Because he was the classic super hyper kind of guy. Myself, I wasn't diagnosed until I was 42 because because I was always good in school. You know, I got decent grades, but it was because school felt easy until it got hard. And then when I got hard, then I just cratered because I didn't know how to actually, you know, do something over time. I could hyper focus in that moment. So there's a lot of different ways that ADHD presents itself. There's like the intentive type is one of them. For me, I find that my ADHD presents in ways that where it's like I have trouble deciding what to work on. There's always too many things at any one time. I say yes a lot to a lot of stuff when I shouldn't. I have no sense of how long things actually take. And it's, you know, there are things that I really enjoy and there's some things that I really do not enjoy doing, which of course, part of a business, you don't get to choose just the fun things. But part of it as well with ADHD made me a really bad employee, which is why I think I'm a slightly better business owner than I was being an employee, except I was like, I could do this better. I don't know if that's the ADHD or just my personality. Maybe it's a bit of both, but that's how it presents for me for sure. And over the years, because I was so many years diagnosed, I came up with all these different systems. I was like, why aren't these systems working for me? And then when I did get diagnosed, it was like, this is, and a lot of women's experiences are like this too, where you get diagnosed late in life and you're like, oh, it's not me. There's actually a thing. There's a reason why I can't get my crap together. And I think that that was definitely like part of, you know, going through the stages of grief and like anger bargaining, you know, like why wasn't I diagnosed earlier? But now I am, and it's for sure, it's, I would say that getting the diagnosis and taking medication for sure changed my life, no question, like significant quality of life improvement. So that's been great to have for the last 7 years.
Great to hear. And my partner Tash won't mind me saying this, but she has recently got diagnosed with ADHD, but she's in her 30s, but going back to what you said, she used to get so frustrated with herself and she kind of beat herself up about things because she was like, why am I finding this tricky? Why am I doing things in this certain way? And while she still does get frustrated, I think now that she has that diagnosis, it's kind of like a light bulb moment of, wow, okay, life makes a lot more sense now. And I don't know if
you... Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah, it's like, oh, I did need glasses all along. Or, wow, I did have a broken leg. Like, you know? And you're like, why can't I just be like everybody else? Why is this so hard and why is this so weird? And for sure, talking to friends of mine who'd been diagnosed late in life, it's, and I think ADHD is certainly having a moment right now. I think, I don't know, there's something about what happened during the pandemic that helped people realize that actually, you know, maybe something was up. And I think there's just more awareness as well of the differences in how it presents in men versus women, which I think is also, and some of the stigma I think is also kind of going away a little bit too. Yeah, so people are like, oh, well, it's a really trendy disease right now. Or we all just had it all along, we just didn't talk about it, which is probably more likely to be the case. I also think, too, that there's something about, you know, working in a digital world as we do now that makes it more prevalent. You know, if I was working with my hands all day, would I have noticed in the same way? Mm. Probably not, but I work in a knowledge economy, which means that my ADHD certainly presents itself in ways that impact my ability to work.
And there must be, the way that I think about it as well, is there must be a massive spectrum. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, huge. Yep.
Yeah. So just because, like, so let's take ADHD, for example. You've got your, what you think it presents itself as, but in actual fact, there's a massive spectrum and it varies and it can show up in different ways for different people and at different levels as well. So I suppose a good question to ask you was, what was the turning point? What made you go out and get a diagnosis?
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was that the business was growing to a point where I was like, I don't have a handle on this anymore. And I was experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety and just really was going to the doctor and being like, this is not normal. What is going on? And she's like, well, try this in the meantime. And she gave me this medication to help with anxiety. And I was like, wow, I got so much work done. She's like, oh, really? That's interesting. Then I got referred to a psychiatrist. My process was actually quite easy compared to what I've heard some other people had to go through. I never had to like go to a ADHD specific specialist and like get a test done and all this other stuff. I just thought so psychiatrists who figured it out and then got diagnosed. The trickiest part for me, I live in Canada, and when we moved provinces, I moved from Alberta to British Columbia, I had to bring all my paperwork with me to get re-diagnosed because medication that I take is a controlled substance technically, and so I had to get a new prescription from a doctor in BC. And when I showed up at the doctor's appointment with all my paperwork, I was like, I know this seems really organized, but I promise you, I have ADHD. I just really want to make sure I keep getting these drugs, which is why I'm so organized with my file of paperwork. But, you know, you should see my house. Yeah. Because one of the things for sure is like, I'm one of those people who likes to see everything. If I can't see something, it doesn't exist. And so I'm definitely a present everything out in the world, or like things have to have specific places or else it's completely lost to me. So I end up kind of organized as a result. But I think my natural state is probably chaos for sure.
Organized chaos or just chaos?
Organized chaos. Yeah, maybe other people looks like chaos, but to me it's organized chaos for sure. But yeah, it's, I think because again, like some of the habits that I have are probably from so many years of being undiagnosed. I was like, I just have to do this or else I'm not going to be able to function with my day, you know, having rigid structure and having rigid routines and everything else. But and yeah, it's, that's how I deal with it.
And you probably didn't realize that you had certain workarounds because it was just the norm. But what is good to hear is that your process of, okay, when you decided I need to do something about this, you went to the doctor, you got a referral, you got the medication, that the process seemed to be quite smooth, but I'm guessing that's not always the case.
Oh, as you were saying. No, and I've heard some real horror stories. Like, I feel like I got lucky for sure. I think that I, and because this was pre-pandemic, the health the health system in Canada hadn't, you know, really started to collapse yet. Like, same thing with you in the UK with NHS really struggling, you know, post-COVID. Yeah. Same thing's happening here in Canada with our socialized medicine system just really struggling. I think that there's certainly some signs of recovery, but like, yeah, it's the pandemic really did a number on health. And I think it really reflected the fact that we just don't have enough mental health professionals, you know, in this country, in your country, just generally, for all the particular issues that everyone has and everyone's need for mental health supports. It's just, it's, I have the privilege to be able to pay for a psychologist and to pay for a psychiatrist, but not everyone has that ability for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's a whole different conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
That's a different podcast. You just have to come back. Yeah. But I mean, it's a shame that there isn't that sort of structure and support where everyone can get what they need. Because from my understanding, because I'm in a fortunate position where I've been able to afford therapy. I've been able to afford counseling. But I wish that in society, that was just a given. Do you know what I mean? That everyone had access. But let's part that conversation for now. Talking about ADHD and running your business, co-owning a business. So I imagine that there are benefits and challenges, So what I want to start with, I want to start on the positive. Yeah, I think that's okay. a great place to start. So tell us, yeah, what benefits are there of ADHD and co-owning, running a business, and how can people capitalize on these benefits as well?
Yeah, it's funny. I asked my business partner this. So my business partner, Jen, we own Kickpoint and Kickpoint Playbook 50/50. She's a delight to work with. We've worked together for 14 years now. And I said to her, you know, I'm doing this podcast. What are some of the advantages? And she, I was like, I'm sure that there must be one somewhere. We're joking about it. And I mean, one thing that she said is that I have no concept of boundaries. So you never say no to stuff. So while that sucks from a time perspective, it's probably led us to some interesting projects, which I agree. Yeah, I have a really hard time saying no because opportunities are so interesting. You know, it's like this seems cool and this seems cool and this seems cool. And one of the lines in my bio is that I like collecting hobbies, where most people say, you know, this is what I do for fun. It's like I collect hobbies for fun, which is what I do. I'm always interested in everything. And I always want to learn more about everything, which I think in particular with a field that's changing so often, like digital marketing, is an advantage for sure to want to keep up on this stuff because it just seems so interesting. And then also because I've had 1,000 different hobbies, I do have good ways of connecting with clients and potential clients because I've probably tried out one of the things that they do for fun, or I know stuff about where they live, or, you know, like my background, I have a degree in geography, which I don't use at all. I also have a certificate in ecosystem restoration, which I don't use at all, you know? But there's all these other things that I do as well. And so it's a really, I get to have these interesting conversations with clients and like learn about their businesses. And I always am interested in learning more about how people do things. And I think that conversation, you know, sometimes people be like, oh, well, you have to pretend you're interested in what the client does. Like, I am actually genuinely interested in what the client does and how they do things and how their systems are structured. And I think that that's a good advantage for sure. Being a business owner, and especially one who, like, because I do speaking engagements and everything else, like being out there in the public eye, people talk to me. Being able to make those connections with people. And then I would say the other thing that is really helpful as well is when I do have that sort of hyper focus, which is an ADHD term, moment, when it comes to things like if I'm working on an analytics plan and I'm doing the implementation, I'll just take a quiet afternoon and I know that I'll be able to get through it much faster than, say, a non-ADHD person, because I am completely focused on that item in that moment. So as long as I can harness the hyper focus moments correctly, and they're like pointed in the correct direction, great. You know, that isn't always the case for sure, but I would say that's, for me, that's my two advantages of ADHD is the connections and then the hyper-focus when it's in the correct spot, which it isn't always for sure.
And they're pretty good advantages. So just to relate to the times of hyper-focus, it amazes me. So Tash, my partner, when she gets into these moments, and you never know when they're going to happen. You can't sort of like schedule them in.
Predict it. Yep.
Yeah. But it amazes me how much she gets done, because in just 2 hours, she'll be like, crikey, look at everything that I've done. And it's because she's so ingrained and she's so focused, and nothing will break that. So that's a great advantage. And also, when you're saying about you've had all these, you don't have boundaries, but what I read that as well is that you've tried a lot of stuff as well. And a good thing to have in business, no matter if you are owning a business or you're being a professional, is inquisitive. You need to be inquisitive, because if you're not inquisitive, you miss opportunities to learn new stuff that develops you as an individual, but also in a professional capacity.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, especially from the agency side of things as well, like this really helps you build connections with your clients, because, I mean, I've been working for myself now. This is my 24th year working for myself.
Which congratulations.
Thank you. I've been doing this longer than Google Analytics has been out. And I think, you know, even thinking back to the beginning, like really that's how you get long-term client relationships is by building those personal connections. It isn't just about the results you get for clients, because results can be fickle and the internet changes and Google changes its mind and how things are going to rank. Like right now, as we're talking, we're on day, I don't know, 187th of the March core update, you know, which is maybe never going to actually finish, you know? So at that point, it's like Google has changed some things. I mean, none of our clients have really been affected by that update, knock on wood, because we weren't necessarily doing the things that March core update is aimed at. But certainly over the years, there's been things that have happened like, oh, you know, we need to rethink the strategy. And what gets you through those tough times with clients are those personal connections that you have with clients. So, and I have some clients who I've worked with for our oldest client. I have worked with him now for 22 years. And it's just, I've had this long-standing relationship with Tom, and he's great. And he is just like a super chill guy. But again, like, because we've known each other for so long, like, we just have that great connection. And it doesn't matter what kind of business he's doing. This is like his third or fourth business we've worked on together. He's a serial entrepreneur. But it's a matter of, just continuing to have those great relationships and being able to build those connections and being genuinely interested in what other people have to do. And then for the hyper-focus thing, I think being able to set your own schedule a little bit, you know, it's certainly, and I'll talk about this more in a minute, like I have accommodations from the team that are fantastic that allow me to do those sorts of things. Nice. Because if I'm like, you know what, right now, this is what I have to work on, then I'm able to make that happen. It doesn't always happen. Fridays are kind of like my free day where, you know, no one's on Slack, and Friday's technically closed at our office. We have a 4-day work week, but I usually take Fridays as my day to, you know, tinker and what is interesting to me today. Or, you know, I take a day off if I'm truly, like, I've done a lot of interviews or had a lot of travel or something and I'm really pooped, then I can just take Friday off.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds like a good balance there. So I am looking at the time and we are due to take a short break, but there are two questions that I want to squeeze in. One question, bit of a curveball, but what is the most random hobby or thing that you've tried? that's what I need to ask.
My God, I think I might need to think about that one. That is, I have had a lot of hobbies over the years, let me tell you. I think the thing that I enjoyed the most was like astronomy. I really got into that in 1987 when Halley's Comet was coming around. And I just got super into, my dad bought me a telescope. I remember being as if, I would have been 13, I think. Yeah, I remember like being outside looking at this stuff. That was super fun. But then, you know, it's like I got really into it and then I found something else to be really interested in, you know. And, you know, like most people, I find there's something about, you know, neurodiverse people in trains. I don't know what it is, but neurodiverse people love trains. I very much enjoy trains. And I live right now on Vancouver Island, which has no trains at all. There's a rail line, but it's no longer in use. So whenever I go over to the mainland, I'm always like, oh, trains. Or in the UK, you guys have so many trains. It's great. I really do enjoy a little bit of train spotting as well. So maybe that's not too random for people who know that people who are neurodiverse love trains, but yeah, it's super fun for me.
We have trains, we have trams. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Yeah, we've got old steam trains, you know.
I know, it's great. Yeah, I miss that for sure, living on the island. I love Vancouver Island, but yeah, no trains. Definitely a minus.
And to bring us back into the topic, because I realized that a good pun here. I derailed us a little bit there. Before we take a short break, what is the main takeaway from part one?
I would say that if you feel like maybe you have ADHD, maybe you should talk to someone about that. And if you have been and are recently diagnosed, like I definitely struggled with the whole, like, if I had been diagnosed as a kid, like, would I have been able to do different careers and stuff like that? You know what? This is where you're at now. Something that's really hard for me to do is let go of, like, things that I've made mistakes in the past. My wife is really good at reminding me to do this. But I think that that's something that I always try to practice, is just, like, giving myself the grace that I give others is a great piece of advice I got from a therapist one time. And I think that if you are recently diagnosed or like thinking maybe you are, like, give yourself the grace you would give others to be okay with the fact that maybe you haven't been perfect in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. No one is perfect. No one on social media.
Yeah. Apart apart from Mary Poppins. I don't know if you get that reference, if you've seen
Mary Poppins has, you know, a couple skeletons in her closet. Yeah. You know, she's like an Instagram influencer. She only shows you the good stuff, but she's got something going on.
Yes, no one is perfect. And you know what? Life would be boring. People would be boring because quirks is what makes people human. And exactly. We make mistakes. Things are messy, but that's just life. And we're all here for it. Right.
Yep.
We are going to take that break now. Please join us for part two, because what we're going to delve into is more challenges. So we've discussed what ADHD is. We've gone through the benefits. Join us for part two, where we'll get into the challenges and how to navigate them. So join us. Come back. Hello, it's Sarah here. Thanks for listening to the SEO Mindset podcast. If you enjoy what me and Tasman do and you want to support us, there are many different ways that you can do just that. You can give us a one-off donation over on our Buy Me a Coffee page. There'll be a link in the show notes, but the URL is theseomindset.co.uk/coffee. You can also sign up to our newsletter. Again, link in the show notes, or go to theseomindset.co.uk/newsletter. And by signing up, you can keep up to date with the latest news and updates from me, Tasman, and the podcast. We promise we'll never spam you, and you can, of course, unsubscribe at any time. We are back with part two. Now, at the end of part one, I said that we would talk about the challenges. So, Dana, let's get into it. Let's get into, what are your challenges? What do you find hard to navigate?
Oh, Slack is killer. I just have to say, like, Slack in general is very difficult. I know when they're like, well, Slack, you know, kind of ruins productivity in some ways. It's like, yeah, it sure does. And I think it really does for people who have ADHD, because it is just like this constant stream of these little dopamine hits of flitting around between different rooms and reading the different chats that people have going on. And especially if you belong to any other Slack workspaces in addition to your work. So, for example, I'm in like the SEO Slack and the Measure Slack, for example, and just having to tune that out, like, that is for sure a challenge. I use the D&D feature on Slack, you know, probably not as much as I should, but I definitely use it to stop all notifications. I just say, like, I'm going to go D&D for an hour and then focus on that. And I would say, like, really the challenges are really the volume of which that I have to be sort of aggressive with myself to make sure that I actually get things done, especially when I don't want to work on something. I use an app called SunSama, which is SunSama. And what I really like about it is it pulls in tasks from different tools. We use ClickUp for project management. I have emails that come in. I have calendar events. And SunSama pulls all that together into a list. And then I can see, wow, you know what? I have, you know, 96 hours of tasks booked for today. I'm exaggerating, but I think last week, one day, I had 26 hours of tasks. Like, obviously, that is not going to happen in a single day in which I work 8 hours. So I know right away that I have to pull things away and move on to something else. And I think that that's where the challenge is, that I always want to do everything. The reality is that I can't. And so it is that real struggle on a daily basis to really, like, keep yourself in that ability to organize yourself and build those systems for yourself. And the systems that I have over the years have changed. I think, you know, the system that I use right now probably won't be the system that I use a few years from now, because it's like I almost have the systems to sort of trick my brain into behaving. And then eventually my brain is like, I figured it out. You can't fool me. And then I have to get a new system. So, like, I added SunSama when my brain was like, no, you can't use the system anymore. You're going to have to move on to something else. And so now I have SunSama. We'll see how long this lasts. It's been a few years so far, so it's been doing pretty good. But yeah, it's a challenge for sure. And I think, too, it's, you know, the other thing, too, and I mentioned my business partner, Jen, and how fantastic she is about this stuff, but also Laura on our team, who's our director of operations. She really has built a ton of accommodations for me so that I can get things done. You know, making sure that people don't at mention me on Slack unless it is absolutely, like, an emergency, you know, encouraging me to ignore Slack and mute rooms and not pay attention to everything all the time. Like, I don't actually have to do that. And that was a really hard struggle for me to give some of that up. And then the other thing, too, is Ferdo, our office administrator, she deals with my email. So when you email me, she does a first filter of it and then stars anything that's actually important for me to pay attention to. And I have some folders that client emails automatically go into because anything that comes from a client is obviously like, I need to read that. And then she deals with all the other crud that I get on a regular basis and tags things. I have a folder called spam ? Because it's like, I get some of those things. It's like, is this a spammy request or is this a real request from a person? And we're never sure. I always have to go on a case by case basis. So Ferdo checking my email and sorting it to cut it down to a reasonable amount is also fantastic. So it really does, you know, take a team. And I think that that's where from the outside, you might be like, oh, you know, she's doing all this herself. Absolutely not. And I think don't feel like you have to do it all yourself. And I'm sure that if my wife was listening to me right now, she'd be laughing. She'd be like, you should listen to your own advice. So I definitely like down on myself thinking I should be able to do all this. I should be able to manage all this myself. No, stop it. You can't actually manage it all yourself. And I think too, you know, even so-called like normal people have these accommodations as well, but they may not be as aware of them, of the accommodations that they have in order to get things done. But just remember, like, this is where you need to have these accommodations because your brain struggles with certain things, but it opens up the possibility for having that quiet afternoon where you can hyper-focus on something, you know, and being able to have the ability to take that time. And by having these other systems to help organize the stuff that you really struggle with, like, if you're bad at something, don't do it. Give it up to somebody else who actually is good at it and enjoys it. You know, like I would be a horrible project manager. That's why we have people like Laura on our team who she joined our team 5 years ago now and just has been so useful in terms of just organizing everything and just like really getting it and being able to help me get things done. And the other part of it too is also being open to the team, which is also difficult because it's, you know, that vulnerability as well. But yeah, just everyone on the team knows that this is what I've got going on and it's some days are good and some days are bad. And just being open as well, like if I'm having a really great time and I'm getting a lot done and I'm really focused, then that shows. But if I'm also not having a great time and sometimes who knows what's going on, sometimes it's my period. Studies have shown that like ADHD medication is less effective on periods or when women go through menopause or something like that. And so I know for sure, like when I get my period, my drugs aren't going to work as well. And so looking at my calendar and being like, okay, maybe I shouldn't book this big project for that week. Because I think this is going to be a problem. You know, just being aware of those accommodations too, that's for sure a challenge. I feel like I take like a lot more, I don't know, care and feeding as a result. But I think it's a matter of being able to build that system with the team and being, you know, saying to everybody, like, look, you can't just yank my attention away and into your thing when you're thinking of it, because that's going to ruin my ability to get back into something else. It's just a matter of, you know, finding a solution that's where I'm being honest about what I need and trying not to feel that shame about it.
Yeah.
And then really trying to figure out how to work with the team so it can all work better and smoother for everybody. And so I'm not, you know, being a bottleneck, as I can still be sometimes, but you know, we're trying, we're working on it. And it's a long process. This will take, you know, the rest of my life will be working, figuring out how to work until I retire. And then yeah. When I retire, I'm sure I will have too many hobbies and then I'll have a different problem.
So as you've been talking, a big thing that has sort of come to my mind is about being self-aware and taking time to be inquisitive about yourself, because like if you've got ADHD or if you haven't got ADHD, there's always going to be things that are a challenge for you. Do you know what I mean? But the only way that you're going to figure that out is if you take that time to figure that out and see how you tick, what's going on.
Yep.
And another big thing was about being open, vulnerable, and communicating with your team. Yeah.
Which was really hard for me because it's, I mean, generation-wise, like I'm a Gen Xer and, you know, Gen X is like, don't talk about your feelings at work.
Push them down. Push them down,
right? The boomers taught us to push them down. And meanwhile, I work with all millennials. And so they're always like, you know, embrace your whole self at your job. And I'm like, that feels so weird. I think I finally have managed to get mostly there, but for sure it is a generational thing. So Gen Xers, if you're listening, listen to the millennials. They know what they're talking about. Just bring your whole self to work is fine. But yeah, that for sure took a lot to get over, is just the concern about being vulnerable, you know, and people seeing that as a disadvantage. But I think, again, it's a matter of, yeah, this is a disadvantage, but this is how we're accommodating it to deal with it. But then there's also these other advantages that we talked about in the first half of the show that is the payoff. And also, you know, I'm just a delightful person to work with, obviously. There's
I get that vibe. Yeah.
But it's, and we have a fantastic team as well. And a lot of our team has been with us for years, which means that, like, we all know each other really well. It's, and I actually am remote from everyone as well. So I moved out to Vancouver Island, which is where my wife is from, in 2020. Most of the team, with a couple of exceptions, is in Edmonton, Alberta. And so because I am myself and I think three other people are remote, four right now, because one of our team members is visiting her sister in Texas for a few months. Another have a team member is going to work from Brazil for a couple months. And so it's nice to be able to have that flexibility, but I do miss a little bit of the routine of going into an office. So now I like go into my office in my house and I shut the door and I'm like, okay, that was my big commute, you know. And like being able to, when I do finish working for the day, leave the office, but then also like go out of the house and do something so that I still have that like sort of ritual of ending of the day. Mm. So I'm not constantly thinking about it, because I think that that's also something that's really hard. Just in general, if you're working from home, but especially if you have ADHD, because you're constantly going to be thinking about stuff. And always having, like, I send myself little notes all the time. I'll think about, oh, you know, I'm driving and I think about something and I'm in the shower and I'm like, yell to my wife. I'm like, Ashley, can you write this down? Send me an email. I just thought it's something that I want to write a blog post about, you know? So I think it's a matter of knowing that those things are going to happen and just being able to have the structures in place so that you have the openness to go for those things when they do come up.
It's funny that you said about ideas coming to you in the shower, because I've joked so many times that I need a waterproof notebook in the shower, because I don't know about you, and actually there's been things that you've said today and I've actually thought, I can relate here. Maybe I need to explore this, because everything, like, there's been key things where I'm like nodding, like, I relate, I get that, maybe I need to look into this. But I come up with all my ideas in the shower, or it feels like that is. And the reason, and the way that I think about it is because when you're in the shower, you kind of only can shower. Do you know what I mean? Like, so
it doesn't occupy your full brain, but you're doing something.
But because of that, it allows your brain to then open up. And is this making any sense, or am I just blabbing?
Oh, no, it totally makes sense. Yeah. And other things too, like yard work. Like, I, you know, if I'm mowing the lawn, the same thing happens too. You know, like anything that involves you doing something, but it doesn't occupy your entire brain, like doing the laundry, or, you know, just like a menial task in the sense that you're doing it with your hands, gardening, but you're not necessarily, don't have to commit your entire brain to that task, can really open up stuff. And I think that that's where, especially again, like getting away from the computer and thinking about stuff can be really beneficial, especially if you're struggling with like a particularly difficult problem. That's where I think that that's going with that. And even thinking about too, my transition from working in SEO primarily over to analytics, part of why I ended up making the switch was, which was weirdly at around the same time I got diagnosed with ADHD, but part of it was I was getting bored with SEO and I was finding that my brain was getting coming up with more solutions analytics wise and less solutions SEO wise. And so I just sort of switched in terms of, this is what my focus is going to be. And that, yeah, it's funny to kind of switch. Not necessarily careers, I still work in marketing, but what I do in this field certainly has changed quite a bit over the last 24 years. I started out building websites in Dreamweaver, which is, you know, a long dead product that was great. I had a lot of fun working with it, oh, these many years ago. This is before Google Ads came out. This is before Google Analytics existed. And now, I remember SEO. I had to do a technical SEO audit the other day, actually, because it was like a website that was super weird and something that I've seen before. So I was happy to deal with it. But yeah, a lot of my stuff is time is spent in analytics for sure, which to my brain makes a lot of sense. So I think that if you are, you know, struggling as well, think about, you know, if you like working in marketing, but you're not necessarily digging what it is that you're doing, maybe you just need a focus change as well. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, SEO is going through a real evolution right now. You know, this AI stuff that changed a lot of things. And I think too, you know, if you are feeling burnt out from it, like maybe you just need to focus on something else in the career. Like it's okay to not work on the same thing for your entire career. You know,
exactly.
I spent the first half of my career, I used to work in software. I used to be a software trainer. Then I started working with myself making websites, and I got into SEO because I was much better SEO than I was making websites. Now I'm in analytics. You know, I got another, if I retire at 65, I got another 15 years to go. Who knows what'll happen in the next 15 years? So we'll see.
Who knows? Life, yeah. Life is your oyster. Maybe that's not the saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've butchered that, but I'm very...
People get the idea.
I'm very sorry to say this, Dana, but we are rapidly running out of time. This has been...
Tragedy.
Tragedy, yeah. When you said that, steps came into my head then, you know, tragedy. I'm not going to sing. No one needs that or even the dance moves, but... Mm-hmm. There are a few questions that I need to squeeze in because there are questions that I ask, or me and Tasmin ask all of our guests. So I need to make mm-hmm. sure that I squeeze these in before we end. So part one, you gave our listeners the main takeaway. I want another main takeaway from part two, please.
All right. I would say make sure to build yourself the structure so that gives yourself openness to pursue interesting things that happen. You know, because if you're like, I can just live my day how it hits me, well, maybe you should have a little bit of structure in there so that you know that, you know, these things are being taken care of, and that kind of opens space in your mind or in your calendar to pursue other ideas.
Nice. And second question, mm-hmm. what is the single best career advice that you've ever received?
In my very, very first real office job after I graduated university, I sat down on my first day and my boss said to me, here's a notebook. I want you to write down every day what you do in your notebook. And so I use field notes for my notebooks because I really like field notes. They're nice to, you know, good paper and stuff, but whatever notebook, it doesn't matter. And so every day I turn a new page, I write down the date, I write out my calendar, what's going to be happening that day. On the other half of the page, I write my priorities. I only set three priorities for that day, which is always hard because, like, there's 18 things to do. No, three most important things you need to get done by the end of the day today, and make sure they're, like, actually well-defined tasks, not clean out your inbox. No, this is not. Like, that's just something you should do anyway. But, you know, the well-defined tasks that you need to finish that aren't going to take your entire day. And then as I work through my day, I just write out notes in my book. And so then I keep all of them. So if I ever need to go back and be like, I talked to so-and-so on this date, what did I write down? It's there in the notebook. And so they're all dated. I have this whole shelf of just notebooks going back for years. And I find that's really helpful to have that archive. And also for me, writing something down helps me remember it, you know, for later. If I don't write it down, it's not going to stick in my mind, but writing it down helps me remember.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to try and implement that myself. I like the idea of having an archive that you can relate back to.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I take the books with me when I travel. Like it's every day. If I'm working, I write in the book. Yep.
That is very, what's the word? Disciplined of you.
Again, you got to have the structures to open the freedom to do other stuff. So this is one of the structures.
There you go. And my last question that I'm going to squeeze in before we end, I would like you to name someone awesome in the SEO world because they're doing equally awesome stuff.
So I might sound biased, but my SEO person is Elizabeth Linder, who I work with here at Kickpoint. She's our director of SEO, and she loves SEO. It's something that, you know, some people like do it as a job and it's just their job. Like Liz actually loves it. And she particularly loves local SEO. And she's doing more writing and speaking about local SEO in particular, but SEO generally. And so I think more people should follow her. She doesn't have a ton of followers on Twitter yet. So her Twitter handle is its_Liz_Linder, or you can Google Elizabeth Linder, or you can just check out the Kickpoint website. And I think we'll have links to her stuff in the show notes or follow her on LinkedIn. She just wrote some fantastic blog posts, especially one about this client where when you did a branded search for the company, not all of his locations were coming up in maps, just one of them was. And so how she fixed that. And so what I like about Liz's writing is it's really, you know, here's the problem, here's what we did, and it's extremely actionable. And also she does a great job of doing, you know, step-by-step content. So I recommend checking Liz's stuff out.
Nice. Thank you very much. Sorry. I had that thing where I couldn't find the unmute button because I just muted myself. And then for some reason I couldn't see it and it was right in front of me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like you said, I will make sure that links to Elizabeth. Does she go by Liz? Did you say Liz?
Liz or Elizabeth. Yeah, it's either or.
Either or. We'll make sure that their handles, where you can find them, is in the show notes. Same with you as well. We might share that your links and all that lovely stuff is in the show notes. So audience, listeners, go to the show notes to find these. That would be awesome. And that is it, Dana. We are at time.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on. And do you know what? It's such an honor to have conversations like we've had today, that we have a platform mm-hmm. where we can talk about topics that aren't often discussed. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that often, yep. I don't like using the word, but they're often taboo or the things that just don't yep. get discussed. Do you know what I mean? It's good to have a platform where we can invite people like yourself to discuss things and get things out in the open.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you for being open and transparent. And yes, and the only thing left for me to say is, if you do enjoy what me and Tasman are doing with the SEO Mindset Podcast, just a reminder that you can support us. We are on Buy Me a Coffee. You can donate us a coffee. We'd be very appreciative of that. So again, just hit the show notes and you'll find all the links there. Right, Dana, shall we say goodbye and until next time?
Absolutely. Goodbye. Thank you. And if you see me at a conference, come say hi. I love chatting with people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously all your links will be in the show notes, but just quickly, mm-hmm. where best can people find you?
Yeah, I would say LinkedIn's probably the place that I'm most active right now. And all my writing is on kpplaybook.com, which is where you can find both of my courses that are out right now. Analytics for Agencies, which is everything you need to know about analytics as an agency, hence the name. And Practical GA4, which is all about GA4, but with lots of practical use cases, again, hence the name. So yeah, I love putting together courses. It's one of my favorite things to do, even though it's a huge project and takes forever, much longer than you'd think. but for sure, it's teaching is definitely one of my passions. So I hope people check out the courses.
There you go. Thank you so much. Right. Goodbye. Thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.